Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Monday, June 22nd. So the other night, I wanted to watch The Social Network. Great movie. Been out for like 15 years. Figured it would be on one of the five streaming services that I already pay for. Well, it was not. It was not on Netflix either. It wasn't on Hulu, not on Prime, not on Max. So I ended up renting it for $5 on Apple TV, which is fine, but it got me thinking, what exactly am I paying for every month? I have five subscriptions, I'm spending somewhere around $70 a month on streaming, and the movie I actually wanted to watch wasn't included in any of them. That feels like a scam, and when I looked into it, the numbers confirmed that feeling. The average American household spent $278 per month on streaming and connected TV services in 2025. That's more than cable bills ever were. We cut the cord to save money, we killed cable, and then streaming slowly became cable again. Except now, it's more expensive, the content is spread across like 15 different apps, and you still have to rent The Social Network. To understand how streaming went from saving us money to costing us more, you have to understand what the original pitch actually was. In 2011, Netflix was $7.99 a month. No ads, and every movie and show in one place. You could share your password with your entire family and nobody cared. Actually, a bunch of people made jokes about sharing passwords. For $8 a month, four or even more people in different cities could watch whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted. That was the promise. Pay less than cable, get more flexibility, and no more contracts, no bundled channels you never asked for. And for about 5 years, it worked. People ditched cable in record numbers. The cord-cutting movement felt like a consumer revolution. But what was actually happening was a subsidy. Netflix was spending billions on content and pricing below its cost to grow its subscriber base, the same playbook that we covered in the Uber episode. Amazon priced Prime Video as a free add-on to get you to buy more stuff from their store. Disney launched Disney Plus at $6.99, well below what it cost to produce and license the content, because they needed subscribers fast too. Every major studio launched its own service between 2019 and 2021, pulled its content off Netflix, and then priced aggressively to compete. The consumer briefly benefited from a price war. You could subscribe to five services for the price of a single cable package and get way more content than you could watch in a lifetime. Then the war ended and the bills arrived. This didn't happen overnight, but over the last several years, Netflix's ad-free plan went from $7.99 to $17.99. Disney Plus went from $6.99 to $18.99 for ad-free. HBO Max added $1.50 in one price bump alone. Paramount Plus raised prices twice in 18 months. YouTube TV, which launched at $35 a month as an affordable alternative to cable, now costs $83 a month. Trust me, I know, I'm a subscriber. And a household subscribing to Netflix, Max, Disney Plus, Peacock, and Paramount Plus, which is a pretty standard combination, is now spending about $70 a month before any live TV service. Now add in YouTube TV or Hulu Live for sports and local news, and you're looking at about $150 to $165 per month. The average cable bill in 2019 was $85 to $147, depending on the package. So we replaced cable with something that costs the same or more. The price increases are obvious because you see them on your credit card statement, right? But there are three other things that changed that are less visible and arguably more important. And the first is ads. Netflix launched as an ad-free service. That was kind of the whole selling point. You're paying a subscription so you don't have to watch commercials anymore. And in 2022, Netflix decided to introduce an ad-supported tier. And by 2026, the ad tier is the default entry point. The ad-free experience that used to be the standard has been repositioned as a premium upgrade that costs more than double. Disney Plus did the exact same thing. Peacock did it, and so did Paramount Plus. The pitch went from pay for content without ads to pay for content with ads or pay significantly more for the experience that you used to get at the original price. That's cable. That is literally the cable model. You pay a subscription and you still watch commercials. The second change is password sharing. So for years, streaming services just looked the other way when family and friends decided to split accounts. That implicit tolerance was a subsidy that made streaming feel cheaper than it actually was. You weren't paying $15 a month. I mean, honestly, you probably weren't paying anything at all, because your friend or your friend's friend had probably logged in on your device, and now you guys were just logged in watching Netflix whenever you wanted. But Netflix decided to crack down on this in 2023, blocking access from different physical locations and offering extra member add-ons from $7 to $9 a month. The password sharing era was the streaming equivalent of Uber's subsidized rides. It got you and a bunch of your friends hooked at an artificially low cost, and once you were dependent, the real price kicked in. The third thing is content fragmentation, and this is the one that made me feel like we're being played. Netflix was the only major streaming service back in the day. It pretty much had everything. Not literally everything, but close enough that you rarely had to go anywhere else. Then every studio launched its own service and pulled its content off Netflix. Warner pulled Friends and put it on Max. NBC pulled The Office and put it on Peacock. By the way, this one still stings. I hated that. Disney then, I think, pulled like Marvel and Star Wars, put it on their platforms, and Sony struck some deals with different platforms for different release windows. The result is that the content you want now is scattered across half a dozen services, and no single subscription gives you access to all of it. And the content doesn't just sit in one place anymore. It rotates. So for example, The Social Network apparently was on Netflix at some point, but then it left, and right now it's only available through a third-party channel add-on on Amazon Prime, which means that you'd not only need your Prime subscription, then you also have to get some additional channel to watch it. A 15-year-old movie that's been fully paid and recouped its cost many times over requires a subscription plus an add-on subscription to stream. That's the system working exactly as designed. And it's designed to extract maximum revenue from every title by moving it between platforms and pricing tiers on a schedule that the consumer never sees. Of the 280,000 movies in one global database, only about 34,000, less than 12%, are available on the top 8 streaming platforms combined. 80% of movies are either on smaller niche services or not available to stream at all in the United States. The movie that you want to watch has roughly a 1 in 8 chance of being on a service that you already pay for. And when it's not, you rent it for $4 to $6, which is essentially the same as walking into a Blockbuster in 2003. Except now, you also pay $70 a month for the privilege of not finding what you want. The thing that frustrates me about all of this is the realization that we didn't disrupt cable. We dismantled it and then rebuilt it in a worse configuration. Cable was expensive but centralized. One bill, one interface, one remote. Everything was in one place. You complained about paying for channels that you didn't watch, but at least you could find the thing that you wanted to watch without checking 5 apps. Streaming was supposed to fix that by letting you pay only for what you wanted. Instead, we now pay for 5 to 7 services, each with its own app, its own interface, its own search function, and its own content library that shifts every month as licensing deals expire and renew. The content is more fragmented than it ever was under cable, and the total cost is comparable or higher. The Tom's Guide writer who analyzed all of this put it perfectly. "You're no longer paying strictly for what you watch," he said, "but rather the idea that you might use it," which is, of course, exactly how cable worked. That sentence captures the entire arc of the streaming revolution. We went from pay for what you want to pay for the possibility of finding what you want across multiple platforms and then rent it separately when you can't. I mentioned this, but the pattern is the same one that we covered in the Uber episode, the AI pricing episode, the gaming episode, the enhanced games episode, everything. It's subsidize the product to kill the competition, and once the competition is dead and consumers are dependent, raise prices, add ads, and remove the features that made the product attractive in the first place. Netflix didn't plan this from the beginning. At least, I don't think they did. I genuinely believe that they were trying to build something better than cable. But the economics of content production, combined with every studio wanting its own direct-to-consumer platform, created a landscape where the consumer ends up paying more for a worse experience than the thing that they left behind. So if you feel like you're being played, you're probably not wrong. The streaming service knows exactly what they're doing. The question is whether any of us are going to do anything about it, or whether we'll just keep on adding subscriptions and complaining about it at dinner. Probably the second. So the next time that you see a Netflix bill or HBO Max show up on your credit card statement, think about this. Cutting the cord was supposed to save money. For a few years, it did, because streaming services were pricing below cost to win subscribers. Now the subsidies are gone, and Netflix, Disney+, and YouTube TV all increase their prices by 100+%. the average household spends $278 per month on streaming and connected TV. Ads are back on pretty much every platform. Password sharing has been locked down. And of the 280,000 movies in one global database, only 12% are on the top 8 services. The movie you probably want to watch isn't included. So you're either going to rent it from some other platform for like $5 or subscribe to another niche platform that you don't actually need. We killed cable and rebuilt it as something more expensive, more fragmented, and more confusing. The only thing we got rid of was the cable box. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.